to do that, we head on down to Bradenton, Florida, where the Sox are getting ready to play the Pittsburgh Pirates in a preseason game. Tonight, Tim Britton of the Providence Journal joining us. Tim, welcome in.
Thanks for having me, Rich. Good to be here.
What is going on with this bullpen? You wrote about it today. Is it, I had to dig back in my memory to remember the guy's name, the Guitar Hero guy. Is it the curse of Joel Zumaya that goes back to the Dave Dombrowski Detroit days?
You know, it's really a melding of curses here to both what Dombrowski went through in Detroit, where his bullpen's always seemed kind of one man short. And really what's happened with the Red Sox for the last several years, it seems that, you know, just about every reliever they bring in the offseason experiences some kind of injury the following spring. I was looking at it. I think they've traded for or signed 15 guys the last 7 years, and 8 of them have ended up on the stable list by the middle of May. So I think there's some speculation from Red Sox fans, you know, what are they doing wrong? It's really tough to pinpoint because that's a trend that extends, you know, beyond Dave Dombrowski's time here, beyond Carl Lewis's time here, beyond John Farrell's time here. So for some reason, Red Sox relievers are struggling to adjust to Boston in spring. With Tyler Thornburg in particular, he's got a shoulder impingement. That's really the underlying reason for the shoulder fatigue he's had all spring. So he's going to be down for the next week, not throwing. Shoulder impingement, you know, the Red Sox had 2 of them last year. Joe Kelly came back in a month. Shinichi Tozawa in 2.5-3 weeks. That's generally a timetable for that. So you're probably looking into that first week of May for Thornburg.
So that leaves a hole in the bullpen. And is it Joe Kelly that's likely to fill that 8th-inning hole?
Yeah, it sure looks like it at this point. Kelly's spring has been a little up and down. He walked the bases loaded the other day, got out of it with only one run, getting a big double play ball. But, you know, they're banking on the improvement he showed really in August and September into October of last year in that division series against the Indians, being the start of something real for him out of the bullpen. He's become a different kind of pitcher in the bullpen, using a 4-seam fastball rather than a 2-seam, relying more on a slider and a curveball than a changeup as he did as a starter. They think there's something real there. You know, obviously, Kelly can throw 99, 100. He's always been able to do that. So it plays up even more in the short stint. So they like him there. But, you know, it's a role he hasn't had in the past. And, you know, this is a guy himself who's been on the disabled list a few times in years past, dating back to his time in St. Louis. So that, you know, the bullpen just looks a little bit shallower than they would have liked this time of year.
And the starting rotation, of course, up in the air given the David Price situation. But we do have a pretty good idea. And the good news is they'll likely only need 4 guys for the early part of the season. Kyle Kendrick sent down to the minors. He's been the big revelation of preseason. How long before we might see him at Fenway?
Yeah, that they sent Kendrick down today suggests that all is a go with Drew Pomeranz. Health-wise, he'll start either the 5th game of the season or the 6th game of the season in Detroit. They need that 5th starter by the first weekend, even with the one day off. So it looks like it's going to be Porcello, Sale, Rodriguez, Wright, and then Pomeranz that first week of the year. That's your 5. And for Boston, you know, they came into spring with 6 viable starters, with Rodriguez kind of being that 6th guy. So they could withstand it in, you know, an injury to one of them. Certainly you didn't want it to be David Price, and you didn't want it to be kind of this specter hanging over you over the first month of the season, not knowing when he's going to be back. But the real issue was going to be if Pomeranz or Wright or Rodriguez wouldn't be ready to start the season, then you'd be dipping into that depth with a guy like Kendrick, who hasn't pitched well on the big league level really since 2013, or guys like Brian Johnson, Henry Owens, who struggled again in spring training.
Eduardo Rodriguez had kind of a tough outing yesterday, but if you look back at last season, in the second half of the year, he was as good as anybody in that Red Sox rotation.
Yeah, I think up until yesterday, he had probably had the best spring of anyone in the Red Sox rotation, you know, maybe outside of Kyle Kendrick. Rodriguez, and he looks confident in a way that he didn't last year. You know, there was so much concern he had internally about the health of his knee after suffering that dislocated kneecap at the end of February that really pushed his start to the season back into the last day of May. He was playing around with his mechanics, trying to lessen the burden on his knee. So he just never felt like himself until the second half of the season and, you know, reminded everyone of what he can do. This is a guy who was the number 2 starter going into last year, and with good reason to be after his rookie season. So I think they're confident that the step forward that everyone expected to happen from opening day of last year might be something Rodriguez is able to do this year.
We're talking with Tim Britton of the Providence Journal. The catching situation seems to be resolving itself, at least for the time being. It looks like Blake Swihart will go to the minor leagues because he has that option. Sandy Leon broke out of a little slump with a couple of homers yesterday. And Vasquez certainly showing the defensive skills that they love. And now they're in, a pretty good position because Swihart will get a chance to play down at AAA, but he's there if they need him.
Yeah, for Blake Swihart, I know he's obviously disappointed he's not up in the major leagues, but this might be the best thing for him long term, just to get down into AAA and to catch every day. This guy lost last season, essentially, and he wasn't the most experienced catcher to begin with defensively. He didn't play the position really in high school. So until he was drafted, he hadn't really been a catcher. He's so far behind a guy like Vasquez in defensive reps. You know, Vasquez growing up a catcher kind of looked like a born catcher. With Leon and Vasquez, it'll be interesting to see how they split up the time there. I think Leon will be the opening day starter based off what he did last year. But we saw just last season that they kind of audibled on the catcher position pretty early. I think it was the second week of the year when they sent Swihart down and called Vasquez up for his defensive prowess. And Vasquez has looked every bit his old self behind the plate this spring. He threw out a runner trying to steal third the other day by about 5 feet. He picked off another from second base. That was before he hit a home run at the plate. Him and Leon haven't had the best offensive spring. They've come around a little bit of late, but they both provide different types of things defensively. Vasquez with the arm, obviously. Leon, they really like his pitch calling and how he handles pitchers through tough innings, always as a calming presence. So they like all three of those guys bring different things. You'd love to be able to combine them into one uber catcher back there, but they all have their individual strengths.
John Farrell's been working on some different looks at the lineup. What's your best guess as to what we'll see come Monday against the Pirates?
Yeah, I think what we've seen the last couple days in spring is, you know, a top third of Pedroia, Benintendi, and Betts. Hanley Ramirez fourth. Mitch Moreland has been hitting fifth behind Ramirez. They want to slot that left-handed bat in there. That pushes Xander Bogaerts down to sixth. And then you see Jackie Bradley, Pablo Sandoval, and then Leon would probably be the catcher that day. So that's probably the starting nine you're going to get in that order, unless they decide over the next couple days to kind of flip things around. Farrell has talked about, especially that bottom half of the order being a bit more fluid. You know, if Bradley or Sandoval is hot, they can move up into that five spot. And, you know, we've got to see Benintendi do it from the top of the order consistently at the start of the season. He's hitting down 7, 8, 9 most of last year when he was up with the club. So that's something else they got to see early on in the year, but that's kind of what they'll go with early in the season.
We were talking earlier with Jerry Krasnick of ESPN about the White Sox situation. They've still got Quintana that they've been shopping around, David Robertson as well, and it looks like it's probably too late for anything to happen here in preseason. Would Quintana be a guy the Red Sox would have their eye on if something happens with one of those starters between now and summer?
You know, I think something major would have to happen, either involving Price or someone else in that rotation, because you bring Quintana in, then you're bumping someone like a Pomeranz or a Wright or a Rodriguez to the bullpen, which is an imperfect fit for them. Plus, he's another left-hander, and you start to project this rotation out beyond this season with Sale and with Price and with Rodriguez and with Pomeranz. You know, an all-lefty rotation is probably not what you want to throw out there at Fenway Park. So I think he's an imperfect fit. You know, if they hear, you know, Pomeranz goes down or if the news on Price just worsens, then maybe that's something to look into, but they've kind of made their big moves when it comes to trading prospects and pitchers.
They're certainly hoping for a good numbers from a full season of Andrew Benintendi, and Mitch Moreland has been a guy who can count on for 20-plus home runs per year. But will we see a different approach with a younger team? Might the Red Sox be more inclined to run more, steal some more bases this year without David Ortiz in the lineup?
Yeah, you know, you're going to miss the 37 home runs and 130 almost RBIs that Ortiz gave that lineup last year. But when you look at the youth of this lineup, one of the strengths of it is its athleticism. A guy like Mookie Betts can be, you know, probably a 30-30 guy in terms of home runs and steals. Xander Bogaerts has talked for years about wanting to steal a little bit more. And maybe down in the bottom of the order, when he's not hitting in front of a guy like Ortiz, he'll feel a little bit more freedom to do that. They think Benintendi has it in to steal 15 to 20 bases. Jackie Bradley's a guy who can steal probably 10 for you. And beyond that, they've also shown Bogaerts in particular, I think, to be excellent base runners beyond just base stealing. Guys who can go first to third with consistency, score from first on doubles, and kind of get that extra 90 feet the Red Sox always talk about. That's a way to compensate for not having quite the home run power in the middle of the order that they did last year.
Tim, we're waiting up here in Maine for spring to finally arrive. So when you make your way north, could you bring some sunshine and 70 degrees our way?
You know, the stadium here at Bradenton is always one I need to make sure I put as much sunscreen on as possible. I always get burned to a crisp here. So I'll try to bring that back for you.
You're killing me. You're killing me, Tim. Great talking Red Sox with you as well. Enjoy the game tonight, and we look forward to talking with you throughout the season. Thanks, Tim.
Oh, anytime. Thank you.
Tim Britton, Providence Journal, talking Red Sox with us on Downtown.